Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Apologue Podcast. I'm your host, Simon Head. Announcements. January 27th is a live taping of the Apologue Podcast. It's at a place called The Central at 603 Markham Street. The doors are at 5:30 p.m., so come for dinner. The show ends around 8 o'clock, so you'll be home before whatever your favorite show comes on a Wednesday night. Okay, also, I need to let you know about a very cool coffee company that sent me some free coffee. And for that, I'm going to let you know that you should go to deathwishcoffee.com and go pick up some coffee. It says on the bag, world's strongest coffee. And you know what? It's fair trade, organic, and all natural, and kosher for my Yiddish friends. So go to deathwishcoffee.com and get some awesome coffee. This podcast is brought to you by FetchClass.com. FetchClass.com is a teaching and learning system where you can teach and be taught in a video conference one-on-one. It's free to join, and it's a pretty cool little system, okay, everybody? Also, I want to let you know about InsightRecorders.com. If you're a musician and you want some mixing done, come to InsightRecorders.com. If you're a band that needs recording in a studio, whether you need to be on location, a live show, live video, and the most important thing that pertains to this podcast is that you can get online mixing done for a fraction of the price it costs you to go to a recording studio. Go to insightrecorders.com for more information and check that out. I want to let you know about my musician's friend and Amazon affiliate programs. You get to them the exact same way. Go to apologue.ca and click on the banners on the right side for musician's friend, for amazon.com. Bookmark those links, everybody. And every time you go shop on Musician's Friend or Amazon, you can be helping the show out through that bookmarked link, okay? While you're at apologue.ca, you can go to the Apologue shop. You can actually order a shirt. I have shirts for sale. Apologue t-shirts. You can check them out at the apologue.ca/shop. Okay. If you're in the Durham region, I'll just hand deliver it to you. Okay, I'll throw it in your mailbox and I'll run away. I want to let you know about my Patreon campaign. Patreon is a pledging website where you can pledge as little or as much as you want monthly. So for $4 a month, you can get it's already a free podcast, but you'll be getting good karma and be supporting the show with hosting fees, gas fees, traveling fees, and all that stuff. You can cancel at any time. And current patrons right now are Michael Pitts and Curtis Pippin. And those guys got on board real early, and I really appreciate that. And I hardly get to mention it, but thanks a lot, guys, for supporting the show. Speaking of following and supporting, go to facebook.com/apologuepod and follow me on Twitter at SimonHead666. And that is all the information. I got this done in under 3.5 minutes. How about that? Pretty cool, huh? Great. Today on the show, I have Miss Emily Bones of a band called The Anti-Queens, a Toronto band that that basically call themselves Four Tits and a Dick. Actually, no, it's Six Tits and a Dick now because they got an extra guitar player. So everybody, we did this one in a car, and here you go. My awesome conversation with Miss Emily Bones of The Anti-Queens on the Apologue Podcast. How you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah? Been getting ready for the Christmas holiday, even though this is coming out 6 weeks from now?
Oh, yeah. You know, just attempting to, like, make soap on the cheap.
That's always the best thing
when
you're
an artist.
Yeah,
I've never made it, so yeah. It'll be interesting.
Making soap. Well, we made Kahlua once for our family.
I'd much prefer that.
Yeah, actually, it's not hard. It's coffee, sugar, and vodka.
Oh, good call.
Yeah. We went and bought. The most expensive part was buying the bottles.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're cutting vodka with coffee, so
very true.
You made twice the thing. Your band, the Anti-Queens, how long you've been around for a while, right? The band.
Oh yeah, Mary Death and I have been writing music together for 11 years.
Wow.
So we've gone through many transitions, and now We are where we are, and it's doing good.
So. Are you originally from here?
Yep.
Yeah. Toronto?
I was born at St. Mike's.
So okay, cool.
There's that.
Cool. And what was your public school? Where about, was it around here too?
Winchester.
Wow, you are local.
Yeah.
You don't venture
Never
too far.
Left the nest.
Yeah. So what's it like being a city girl? Because I'm a country boy, so.
It's good. I think I would have liked to have grown up in the country. Mm-hmm. More space to run around.
Sure.
Here it's like so busy all the time and like so crowded. But the good thing is there's just a lot to do all the time.
Yeah. Do you ever find that you're you head out of town, you're in the country and go, God, it's so quiet around here. What the
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
So good.
Well, you know, that's exciting because a lot of country folk, like I grew up in the country and then I moved to the city and I realized that you're kind of set where you're supposed to be. Like I'm now back kind of in the country. And I think that's where I was always supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, if you wanted to be a country person, then eventually you would you'd gravitate there.
Yeah, totally.
That'd be your place to go.
I probably will.
Yeah,
eventually.
Like, would you be like off the grid kind of crazy person or like those crazy TV shows?
Yeah, I don't even know. I haven't thought that far ahead yet. Mm-hmm. I just know I don't want to be in the city.
Yeah. Well, you're right. And being in a band and being in the city is kind of like they go hand in hand, right?
Yeah,
it's
totally.
Supposed to be. You can't. It's so much. Well, I've done it. You know, so much commuting to try and get to the city to try and play a show. And
yeah,
and,
like we've talked about moving even like outside of Toronto just so we could have like a band house, have like a jam space and everything. Because even like finding a place to rehearse down here is impossible
it's
and
expensive
like crazy
too.
Expensive.
Yeah.
So we just like book by the hour. We used to have a space, but yeah, it's just expensive. So.
Yeah, book by the hour is a bit of a racket, huh? I've gone through
so
many yellow lights. Have you noticed that? I'm just yellow
I
light.
Won't tell.
Yeah, all the way through. There we go. That was red now.
You can't hear you going through the red light.
No, that's true. I just busted out. You incriminated myself.
Yeah.
I had the idea that I'd put like a video like on the GPS of us driving. So I'd have to give visual notes or have a video camera
yeah.
and then a split screen of the video of just where our little chevrons are
yeah.
driving. Because a lot of it doesn't make sense.
Because
it's so tough for people to find a quiet spot to do this sort of thing. So driving in the car is the logical solution.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And it's actually, you don't hear a lot of the car noises. And so it's sort of like we're in a, and it sounds better than my actual like recording studio.
Really?
It's dead in here,
That's
right?
That's so cool.
So you, I saw that Christmas thing. That was from last year, right?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. God, that's insane. Breaking barriers.
I know.
So,
it was fun.
So it's I Saw Daddy Kissing Santa Claus.
Yeah.
You switched it up.
Yeah.
And the video, if anybody wants to go to YouTube and watch it, it's pretty out of this world. It's Who played the part of Daddy?
Funny story. So, yeah, I had this, like, ridiculous idea, and then we just decided to record it. We literally, like, arranged the song, recorded it, and shot the video and released it in a week, which is, like, a huge record for us.
Absolutely.
But
anybody.
So the role of Daddy is Mary Death's ex-boyfriend.
Okay.
And the role of Santa is my ex-boyfriend.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
So
yeah,
that
yeah.
just adds to the story, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know how we convinced them to do that.
It's yeah, and you guys are sort of like these cute little girls watching it all happen. And so you had like the total angelic role and
yeah.
you gave the dirtiest, craziest role. And you say it offended people? Like people obviously, well, I guess some people would be offended.
Yeah,
by it.
People were saying we like ruined Christmas and you know, my response was like, well, you're just homophobic.
Yeah. My friend of a friend ruined Christmas by on a dare flew to Calgary with a Hitler mustache.
That,
for Christmas.
That kind of ruins Christmas.
That ruined Christmas.
Yeah, that's
for,
a different story.
And then, he's like, congratulations, you ruined Christmas, is the quote. And, you know, it's such a weird time of the year. And, you know, this honestly is going to be coming out in January. So we can talk about the Christmas festive season. But a lot of people at this point, when they listen to this, be like, fuck Christmas. I'm done with it. It's too much. And, you know, we started Christmas in September this year, it seems like.
Yeah.
And it seems like, why are we, you know...
Not I got, the weather, though.
The weather's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's not probably now we're looking ahead in the future. Like, what do you think the weather's going to be like in the end of January?
Oh, I don't know.
It's going to be, well,
I
like this,
it's
maybe.
It's like 30 degrees.
Yeah, people probably in Bermuda shorts burning,
yeah.
going, ah, screw it, you know?
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that,
I know
too.
It's not healthy, but...
A lot of people are taking a hit with it, too. Like, a lot of industry. Like, you know, think about how much money people use to... spend to go snowboarding and
I know
and skiing and you know our industry is pretty weak around here anyways. Yes, but do you do any of that stuff? Are you active?
Not really. I'm afraid of sports for the most part. I'm afraid of falling on my face.
Mm-hmm.
But I've done a little snowboarding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's
a little.
Fun.
A little?
Yeah, a little. Usually I fall backwards, not on my face, so that's why I go for snowboarding.
Snowboard falls are never graceful. They always hurt. All my family snowboards except for me. I'm a skier.
Yeah, but I've never gone skiing.
Yeah, skiing's easier, believe it or not. Like, if you can roller skate or skate, you know, then you're in. You're already half taught how to do all that stuff. So you guys got big plans this next coming up year? What's going on? Are you making a record?
Well, we just added another member.
Oh, you got four people now.
Yeah, we've got, we stole Valerie from the band Black Hat Attack.
Oh,
no
way.
We went on tour with them, and like, we just had such a good time that she actually asked if she could join, and we're like, hell yeah.
Yeah, and so, Black Cat's kind of on hold until Dave quits Sum 41 again.
Yeah, they're like kind of trying to work it out. They're working on a new record. I think they're finishing it in February.
Okay.
And then we're leaving in March for another U.S. tour with Val.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
And so you do a lot of places down. That's a smart thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like to get down there now? Is it still kind of like they want to stick rubber gloves up your butt, or is it?
I was honestly like shitting my pants for the whole like year thinking about having to cross the border, because like I've just heard like horror stories, and honestly, like we crossed at like 3 a.m. with the band, and me and the border patrolman had a good conversation about the Misfits. So
okay,
there's that.
did you have work papers
surprised.
And everything?
Yeah, we got the visas.
Is
we
it
had everything.
Expensive now still?
It's pretty expensive,
God
yeah.
Damn it. When are we going to figure it? It was only Canada.
I know. And like, we just applied for a year-long visa, and we had to put in our application December 1st.
Yeah.
And we're not leaving until March. So there's like a 90-day.
Oh, yeah.
And it just keeps going up. It's crazy.
Are the fees are astronomical still?
It's not like crazy over the top, but it's just like an investment.
Because it used to be $1,000 a person.
Yeah, it's not that bad anymore.
Okay, good. Cause that
and
was
we
insane.
Apply like as a band,
mm-hmm.
as a whole, and then you just have to pay like your membership dues and everything, which
that's
kind of annoying. That's
where it's changed. Because it used to be per person, per band member. So if you took two crew and four people, you'd be spending $6,000.
Oh yeah.
To travel to America.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, for
definitely gotten better.
But you get a P2 out of it? Is that the thing? So you could go down and play music, but you can't go down there and work in the steel mines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
There's there a steel mine? Is there such thing as a steel mine?
I don't know.
Do they mine steel?
They might.
Coal mine.
Maybe that's a place we should look at performing in.
I know they have coal mines, but I don't know if they have steel mines. I know they have steel refineries. Regardless, my point is that you couldn't go and just do a normal, everyday
I don't think so.
Work job down there. In America, it's kind of nice when it comes to playing shows because there's more of them, many more of them, huh?
Oh, yeah. And people are just so into it, and they love buying all your merch, and the bands there are really, really nice. And
really?
Yeah, it's like a crazy difference compared to Canada. Like,
yeah.
I hate saying it, but it's true.
Well, you can drive 3 hours to your next show. So you a lot of sleeping in time.
Yeah, exactly.
Things like that. And, you know, Europe's kind of the same way. You've been to Europe?
I have, but we haven't played there yet.
Yeah, Europe's fun.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Go there.
I know.
You think America's awesome? Europe is like 10 times
it's
more
so
awesome.
So great.
Awesomer. Actually.
Yeah, we went to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
We did like two little acoustic shows there, and it was
oh,
awesome.
You know what? I think I saw something about that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what? Acoustic is not such a bad idea either.
No, it's easier.
Way
it's
easier.
Way on the cheap side.
Absolutely. You know, I've flown to Europe and played shows, and it's costed me $10,000. Easy.
Oh my God.
To do that, renting gear, renting a van, paying a driver, it's brutal. It's brutal.
Totally.
But it seems like people appreciate you a little bit more. When
you're not from there.
Yeah. So maybe you get the same thing from America where you're like in, you know, South Florida or something where they're like, oh, you're from Canada. We've never been there. So you're like an alien to us.
Yeah. That could be it.
Same idea. You've taken the effort. You've put the work in to get down there.
Yeah. Actually, we were joking about that too, because even like when we'd go to restaurants and stores and stuff, we would say we're like from Canada and they'd instantly be so nice to us. We're like, when we come back, we should just say we're
from
the
America.
States. Yeah.
No, you won't get it. You might get some gob in your coffee or something. Not that Americans are hated, just their politics. That's all. That's all.
And as Canadians, we're just dicks.
Yeah. Well, the idea of traveling in Europe, I traveled with Americans as a Canadian, and you notice the difference. There is a cultural difference between Americans and Canadians when traveling abroad.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, Americans, I don't know why it's genetically embedded in them to speak louder and slower when you're talking to people who don't speak English.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Maybe it's because I was traveling with people from L.A. and sort of a little bit more ignorant, so to speak. But the 11 years, huh? So you guys must have just been right out of high school.
Yeah. We met, I think I was 13 when I met her. And, like, we instantly started writing music together, so.
Really?
Yeah.
It must have been awesome, too, eh? 13-year-old down in the basement.
Real good songs were written.
What was, do you have one that comes to mind?
I've got a couple. She'd get so mad at me. But there was one she wrote called The Replacement, and I love that song to this day, but she's so embarrassed by it, and sometimes I'll just start playing it just to piss her off.
Maybe we'll do it in our audio segment of the show.
This one's for you, Mary Beth.
The Replacement. Yeah. Did it sound like The Replacements?
No.
No?
A lot of our songs consisted of, like, saying, oh, this is bullshit. Like, bullshit was used a lot in every song.
Yeah, because you can't really swear as a 13-year-old unless... Yeah.
I'm like, look how angsty we are. This is how I feel writing in my bedroom.
I'm 13 and I know the world is sculptured, man.
Yeah.
Cabbage Town, it's rough around here, man. Well, it used to be rough. It's not as bad as it was.
It is still pretty rough.
It's pretty rough. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you went through public school playing in a 13-year-old punk rock band, that sounds like it.
Mm-hmm.
Songs about bullshit.
Yeah.
Went in high school. How was high school for you? Was it good?
Not really, no.
Mm. Why?
I went to, like, 5 different high schools just trying to, like, fit in and find the right one, pass my courses, but...
Were you an angry young lady?
I think I was just confused.
Yeah,
and I don't like being told what to do to this day. And there's a lot of that in school.
Yeah. So. Well, of course, it's school. They're supposed to teach you how to be, like, a upstanding member of society, right?
Totally.
Has that always been... Like, where do you think that came back down to? Like, to not, like, taking... crap from each other. Some people are born with this gene.
I
think I'm born with it too.
I think it's a respect thing too. Like, I feel like when I had a decent teacher that was just, like, really cared about their students, being told what to do wasn't as much of, like, a chore.
You're right, it is respect, because teachers, a lot of, there's not, like, some teachers out there, they're not always awesome.
No,
some people don't know how to carry on conversations. Some people just in general are not good at communicating their ideas.
They just shouldn't be teachers.
They're just going. It's right. They're just going on a curriculum that's been given to them, and they're a little handcuffed to begin with, because there is a regulated curriculum where if you're in grade whatever, you have to get to this point. But it's the way you get there. I mean, I have kids, and some of the teachers are absolutely horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible. I wouldn't expect my kids to learn anything from these people. I don't even respect these people, like, as people. Let alone teachers. And though teachers is a difficult job, being a teacher, the idea of how you teach
it. I know, it's insane. You're influencing someone for the rest of their life. It's like...
Yeah. I had some good teachers, too, and had some really horrible teachers.
Yeah.
But you're right. It is a respect thing. The idea of just not understanding, like, or this person not giving you the respect. I mean, you know, a lot of people, I mean, devil's advocate mean you're just a kid. You should probably just listen to these people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're all free-thinking peoples, right?
Yeah.
So high school, 5 high schools, huh?
I think so, yeah. Mm. About that much.
Did you graduate?
Nope. Still never graduated.
What do you got to get?
I don't know. Maybe I'll go get my GED sometime.
What's that? GED?
General Education Diploma.
Okay. So what are you missing?
Oh, a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah. Well, so you kind of dropped out then?
Yeah.
How old are you?
Math is not my strength.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, you play music, which is always counting.
Yeah, I can't read music, though.
No?
Mm-mm.
You feel it? You see the music?
Yeah. I just learn by ear and just, it's always been like that, so.
So math, and so you're thinking one day night school might be in order?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Do they have night school? I guess it's just online learning now.
There's so many options, yeah. You can, like, just go and take your GED test if you think you're, like, smart enough.
And if you get it, you pass.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And then you can go to college or maybe, like, university, depending on, you know, your qualifications or whatever. But
see, you've always just played music and always had this existence of playing music and this idea in your head. It's always been something you've always wanted to do, huh?
Yes.
Do you have any other things? Like, did you think, well, some things need education, right? Like, you need to.
Yeah, I did go to, like, a private college to do hairdressing,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, what I'm kind of doing right now.
Yep.
But. I'm kind of over it.
Oh, really?
It's been like almost 5 years of it. So,
cutting hair is probably a lot like mixing sound. Everybody has an opinion, and it's never right.
I know. It's brutal. It's so superficial. Like, I'm to the point where it's like, I can't deal with you people coming in here and like acting like your hair is the number one issue in this world.
Well, it is once you walk through that door, I suppose, right?
Ah, God. Yeah. It's not for me. I can't.
I heard a great term the other day, soft boy.
Yeah.
Do you know it?
No, I've never heard that.
It's just boys that are really in tune with their feelings and their sensitivity. They're not obviously gay. They're just really, they're soft.
Yeah.
They're soft boys.
It's pretty much all my ex-boyfriends.
Oh.
Or I call them like baby men.
Okay.
There's that too. I made that one up, I think.
That might be like a thing too of where we haven't fought any real wars, like where men have to go to war.
Mm-hmm.
I think society is softened because we're more worried about our hair. We're more worried about our things that we don't see. Like, do you think there's any soft boys like in the Middle East? I don't think there's any.
I don't think so
either. They don't know what that word means.
Yeah.
You know? It's one of those when you translate it into Arabic, it would be soft boy.
Yeah.
But the idea that we're just a bunch of people now that are so, everything is consumable and we're just people that can just get anything off Amazon. Like, that thing blows me away. 2 days?
Yeah.
I want this. Okay, cool. What the hell? It's been 3 days.
I know. Where is it?
Where is it? I need it.
I don't want to have to leave my room.
I know. Oh, man. When they get that drone service going, there's going to be people that just not going to be able to. They're going to run closing their eyes because they don't want to catch any like bad rays from the sun to get their thing that the drone dropped off. Like,
I know.
Crazy stuff, huh? Yeah. Well, I think maybe that's the idea of being like, there's nothing wrong with being sensitive and artistic, but there's sometimes you just can't, you gotta sort of buck up, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
And you know, so a lot of men in your life have sort of, have done that.
I know a lot of guys in general and I compare them to like the women that I know.
Yeah.
And like, they still like mooch off their parents and their moms baby them. But then the moms, if there's like a sister in the family, the sister will be like the one that goes out and finds a job and leaves the house and like has all these ambitions. And then, you know, the brother is just babied. Like, I know so many families like that. It's crazy.
But you're not really, you don't come across as this sort of like hard edged feminist.
No.
And I'm sure you're feminist because you're empowering women through your music and things of like that, but you don't come across as this sort of like, you know, well, maybe I don't know. You're in interview mode.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a,
no, I'm not like a hardcore feminist. I'm more just for like gender equality.
Yeah, definitely.
Which like we talk about a lot in the Anti-Queens is because, you know, we used to be an all girl band and then we ended up just wanting to find a drummer that suited our style and we knew exactly what we were looking for. And then it just happened to be a guy. And a lot of people kind of took that the wrong way.
Sure.
And like thought we were ruining the image and we're like, well, it's more about how we sound, not how we look.
Sure.
And then so our way of describing our band is four tits and a dick because it's very literal and that's what it is. That's what you get.
It makes
no difference what type of music it is.
Yeah. Well, the whole idea of equality too is something that is so askew with some feminism sects where they believe that women should actually get more, and men are considered, are put into pigeonholed as being apes that just beat up people. But that's not true.
Yeah.
You know, obviously.
No. Everyone's different.
Everybody has, you know, equality was a big thing that was kicked around in the 90s a lot, but it got so put, astray. But, okay, well, here's dig on this then, because we're talking about soft boys, maybe that is equality. Maybe that's what's happening now.
Yeah.
We're all turning into the same person.
We're evening out.
And there's nothing wrong with that, really, I don't think. Oh, the Shell got ripped down. This used to be a Shell station.
Yeah.
I recorded a band up in this. We're at Queen and where are we? Queen
Woodbine.
And Woodbine. And there's a band I recorded, like part of a band up in that white building over there. Yeah. Yeah. Good times. We're in memory lane. It's my old hood.
Yeah. I had work down there.
Oh, yeah. What place?
Parlor. Hair salon.
Okay.
Yeah.
I used to live down that way. Oh, actually, no. I lived up this way by Kingston Road in Victoria Park. It was our first apartment.
Nice.
And it constantly stunk like shit because people's bathroom didn't work, so they just pooped in a bag up by the front door. And we would go up and smell the poop every time we went upstairs.
That's great.
And once the very first time the Weakerthans came to Toronto to mix their album, they stayed in our apartment. And the owner / landlord thought we were renting, like subletting to three mm-hmm. other dudes.
Yeah.
So they locked us out of our own place.
Oh, no.
So we had to like, no, they're not. They're just staying here for a week. Yeah. Like they're just, you know, which ended up being that Fallow record. Were you ever a Weakerthans fan?
Yeah.
Yeah, Fallow, the okay. album Fallow.
Nice.
They mixed it at Phase One, which was, you know, up by in Scarborough. Mm-hmm. So your band, you've toured, you've done tons of things. Did you ever have like the aspirations of like Bon Jovi-ness or of is there like just something that is there a realistic look at what
oh, like having our own winery or something?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'm down for that.
But you have to, you know, a lot of people sort of have plans and they have like these sort of ideas
yeah.
and these moves and things like that. Like, and I was thinking about this just as I was coming down. The idea of being aggressive in music as an artist is not always good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always been like being really hungry and being really yeah. Enthusiastic. And it's tough. There's a line mm-hmm. between being way too desperate and being... not too, you know, obviously,
yeah, yeah.
and just being nonchalant.
That's kind of what happens.
Yeah. Like, do you guys have management? Is this a thing?
No, we do everything DIY.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, too, is a tricky thing. I have spoken to people about this before. Is trying to go and fight for what is right is never a... It's always tough because mm-hmm. you're the one that plays in the band. You're the one that they might not book back, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever had any weird little, like, quirky things with promoters and...
Trying to think.
Bar
yeah,
owners.
We've had our share. We try to like get along with everybody. For the most part, we do. Like
yeah.
we like to hang out after shows a lot, and like we have this joke that we're like literally always the last people in the bar every time.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So the idea of like major labelness and things like this, like is there an ethic to your band that says we'll never sign to a record label or a major label, or is there always a...
No, I'd like to say that, but yeah. honestly, like, money is so tight, so whatever like help we can get, we're totally up for.
Yeah. But I think the model of being on a label is kind of dead anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking about that.
You know, you put some nice YouTube videos up and, mm-hmm. you know, that's how, you know, I'm noticing just like YouTube, that Santa Claus song is like 58,000 mm-hmm. hits. That's 58,000 people
yeah.
listen to that song or watch that song. And either were really upset
yeah.
by it or
10,000 of them were me just replaying it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that day is dead now where you can't stack your, you used to be able to buy hits on YouTube.
Yeah.
I remember this one band a few years ago bragging, like, we just bought 38,000 or something hits. And I'm like, you guys are full of
shit.
Yeah,
that's so lame.
It's so lame. Like, I'm proud. I feel shame when there's 32 hits. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
you might want to buy some.
Maybe have an envy.
I'll buy like five.
How do you get all the people to come over? I mean, that's a science too. But
yeah.
the idea of now what you're giving to people who buy music, you're giving it to them.
Yeah.
You got to go out and play shows and you got to
yeah.
do this and that. And there's other things too. I mean, a lot of people are talking about cross promoting with not labels, but people that have things to sell. I mean, that's why you have Jam in the Van. I think it's sponsored. Is it sponsored? I might be talking up my ass, but it's sponsored by something. And Steam Whistle is always, you know, the beer company is always
Jaeger.
By the cops. You know, Jaeger.
I got a sweet Sailor Jerry's hat the other night.
Yeah. Jägermeister used to give out a trailer. I think the Salads drove around with it for a long time. And then the Inner City Surfers had it for a long time. And I don't know where that trailer is now, but it's probably still being towed around somewhere. It's a piece of shit trailer. Jägermeister.
We'll take it.
Oh, yeah. I met a band in England that were, well, I guess the Surfers were sponsored by Jägermeister. I never got a bottle out of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I was... hanging out with a band in England that just gave us three bottles of Jägermeister. That stuff is just, that's wrong. It's
not a
poison.
Fan.
Yeah. You a drinker?
Jäger is like the one shot that I will do.
Yeah, because it's like cough medicine.
Yeah, it's not.
It's good for
super,
your throat.
Yeah, I can handle it.
But the drinking wise, you're kind of on you're pretty reserved.
Yeah, I don't go crazy. Yeah. The last time I did, it was like a month ago.
Yeah.
And I fell down Val's stairs. And bruised my butt real good and my ribs. I don't know why I'm telling you this.
Bruised ribs are always horrible.
Yeah, I get like proud of bruises, so I feel the need to like take photos and put them on Instagram.
Ribs are insane. Ribs,
yeah,
it's hard to
breathe.
It's
still bothering me. They told me it's going to be like over a month for it to heal. It's
absolutely
really annoying.
Absolutely. I bruised my ribs skiing a couple of years ago, and it was like I couldn't lie on one way, and if I laughed, it hurt.
I know.
Like, oh, it was brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
So that's not going to happen again.
Oh, the real jerk is up here. Look, there it is. You ever eaten at the real jerk?
I don't think I have.
Oh, my God. That place is so good. I don't know about that real jerk.
Yeah. There's another one, too.
It's down over, down on, I said we went by. It's down at Carlisle and Girard.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which I think we'll probably scoot over that way. This is my old digs up here, Emily Bones of the band Anti-Queens,
Dick
which
Park.
I never even mentioned. But maybe I did. Actually, no, we'll go up this way. We're at Victoria Park, and there's actually this cool place I worked here called the Toronto Hunt Club, which is a golf course.
Nice.
Oh, I'm going through red.
Uh-oh. You got to stop telling them that. They'll never know.
They'll listen to the cops. They'll be like all over this, and they can bust
Smash.
Me. Yeah, you're done now. Yeah. This is such a neat part of town. This is like, look, we're driving through 1972 right here.
Yeah.
I wish I could take a picture. Oh, well. But
and
we
then
are.
There's that house.
And then there's weird Swedish house, sir. IKEA house, the
house.
So we're talking about the country. You should come out to the barn and do some recording one day, where we record some Fairmount stuff.
The barn.
We record in a barn.
Nice.
And it sounds not so cool and sexy, but it actually is pretty cool.
I love barns.
It's a barn. I'm not selling it very well, but it's a barn with a recording studio in it, and we do all the Fairmount stuff up there.
That's awesome.
Coming. I'm going to be doing some stuff next year, some live off the floor stuff with some video. So maybe one day
we'll
get you guys
sweet.
Up there and do something. Something, as they say.
Something.
Yeah. So you got any plans for a new album?
We're just writing right now.
Mm-hmm.
We just released one in like June.
Oh, it takes a while, huh?
Yeah, it took us like a year to get it together. It was only an EP too, but...
Yeah. Now recording, where do you record mostly?
We did our last two albums with our producer, Ian Blackwood.
Oh, I know.
So he has a studio in Mississauga.
Yeah. Yes. Why do I know him?
He's Sarah Blackwood's
brother. Oh, that's the...
Yeah. The Blackwood family.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So I forgot Sarah. I thought Sarah was always a Burlington person.
She's still in Burlington,
Yeah. Mississauga's sort of, I guess not as far as Burlington.
Yeah, it's closer for us. That was like pre-van, so we used to go and just like take the go bus there every time we'd go and record.
That's
probably
awesome.
Why it took a year for it to come out.
Yeah, actually, there's a really cool, also another cool video with you, Sarah, and what's your name?
Jenny.
Jenny.
Yeah.
Doing a Miley Cyrus song, which I watched and I thought was really good.
Yeah, it was fun.
Now, that was, did you record that before? Come on, let the cat out of the hat.
Uh-oh.
No, it was live.
No, it was live.
Lively.
Completely.
Lively.
Lively, yeah, lively.
Lively.
Someone said there's this one part where, like, I breathe in the video, but I don't breathe in the recording.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's not possible.
A lot of people are trying to bust that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Just enjoy it.
Everyone on YouTube. Just enjoy it.
Just
I don't get it.
Trolls, there should be some word filtering going on in the computer when people say, like, I don't like it. They should, like, I don't like it shouldn't be words that you can type in together.
Yeah.
Because you're just getting it for free, man.
I know.
I like trolls. I sometimes like the battle trolls online.
Oh, yeah, I do it all. I'm so guilty of that.
Yeah. Because then you, in fact, turn into a wee bit of a troll.
I know. Yeah. I'm just, like, I like to argue back with people that are dumb on the internet.
Yeah.
But people are like, well, you look like you care too much if you're doing that. Just like, I won't say anything to the nice commenters, you know?
Right. Are you Twitter? Are you on the Twitter?
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you prefer, like, over this new, which one wins? Like, there's Instagram, there's Twitter, there's Facebook, and then the retarded little brother called MySpace.
Oh, yeah, that's still a thing?
It's still, I sometimes in my junk email, I'll get a MySpace email.
He was real popular back in the day.
He was. What was his name? What was his name? The guy that...
Oh,
he was everyone's
Tom?
Friend. Tom.
Yeah.
Tom from MySpace. Hey, look at this guy. This guy's fruit booting.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty cool.
He works for the TTC, too.
He does. He doesn't care. He's like, I don't need
he
a car.
He ain't riding the rocket today. He knows.
He's got two rockets on his feet.
Yeah.
For the people at home, there's a guy rollerblading. An old, nice elderly gentleman rollerblading. rollerblading down Victoria
all
Park.
All suited up, too.
Yeah, look ready
that
for work.
That was a sight.
I wonder if he keeps him on while he's working behind the ticket counter. Yeah. Like, I'm ready to go.
It makes it easier.
I'm good to go. So this is my other hood up here, Emily Bones.
You're just all over the place.
Yeah, we bought a house up here at Vic Park in O'Connor.
Oh, okay.
And we lived up here up until about 2006, and then we moved out to Uxbridge.
Ah.
Yeah, man. So what was life? I'm going back to teenage life again. What was life with your parents? Were you a good kid with your parents?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's always just been me and my mom. So
yeah.
We're buds.
Is your dad like? Do you see your dad a lot?
No, I don't. He lives in New Zealand.
Oh wow! It could get further away.
I know.
When did he split?
Just after I was born, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
my
really?
My mom divorced. So.
Oh, that's too bad. And he's never made contact or tried
Not
to.
Not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he from New Zealand?
He's from England, actually.
Okay.
So that whole side of the family.
Weird.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So I'm like half and half.
So growing up, were you always you and your mom, or was there stepdads involved, or?
No, just me and my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she wanted to focus on just me.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Because that sometimes doesn't happen. Sometimes
then
they replace their hate for men with an even more brutal man.
Yeah.
You know.
I know.
Do you have siblings?
Nope.
No.
Only child.
Wow. Yeah. That's kind of neat.
I know, it's pretty rare these days.
Yeah.
I find.
Yeah.
When I do find another only child, I'm like, yeah, sticking together. Props.
Do you ever have, like, because there is some sort of traits that single kids possess.
Yeah, I don't like to share.
Yeah? Okay. Now, do you speak with adults? Did you speak with adults easier as, like, a 10-year-old? Like, did you find yourself, like, more accustomed to conversation?
Yeah, totally.
There's nothing wrong with that, but it's sometimes then the kid come across as being kind of a dick, right? But you're just smarter because you've been, your whole life, you've been brought up as an adult, right?
Exactly.
Essentially. You can't be a kid. You can't fight and argue over things with your brothers and sisters.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that is cool. I mean, did you ever sort of want brothers and sisters, or was this ever moments in your life you thought, no, this is okay, or?
Yeah, I did. I think even now I'd still like to have one or two or whatever, but
it's not too late.
I know. I've got friends, sisters from other misters.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and your mom's still in Cabbage Town. Is your mom?
Yep.
Yeah. Gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And you're in. Is like in that neighborhood, your mom?
Yeah, I'm moving back there, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, nothing wrong with that, man. You're young, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So go ahead, do that. You're not like 40. Like me moving home would be bad.
Yeah.
But I can't do that. I could, but it'd be really pathetic if I did. And so you've put an EP out, and did you you toured on that EP, and then you traveled across America, and you're doing it again. So so you're doing it with now a 4-piece.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Now we're like, we need more shit to sell because everyone bought everything we had.
Yeah. Well, I saw
last
some pictures.
Time,
it
so.
Looked exciting. Like it looked really.
Oh, it was so fun.
Looked very cool.
That was our first tour. Like,
now that's not
like
such a bad first tour to get on, by the way.
Definitely right? Not.
Just getting on that would be very cool.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, we're doing like the same run we did in July, but after that we want to go west, like California and.
Yeah. So did you just book all that yourself?
Val does a lot of the booking. She did the booking for the last tour.
Okay.
And then this time around we're going with another band called Kill Matilda.
Okay.
And. Dusty is actually like a tour manager in her off time or whatever.
Oh, right, okay.
So she's doing a lot of that. We're all kind of doing our own part with this.
Right.
And then Mary Death's taking a stab at some bookings as well. So it's pretty cool. We got a team of smart ladies.
So is there a network of places to call? Like, is there a database of places? Like, is there a website with all these places to go and book your shows?
Or not that I know of.
You just got to go, like, type in Google the coolest place to play in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And then go find that place and then.
Most of it's just places that these bands have already played at.
Right.
Or we'll just go through, like, a promoter or booker or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
What if we bring the DIY back, like it used to be in the 90s where we'd have a book we'd follow, but everybody would submit their places to play.
Now they charge you for that. It does exist, but yeah, they just want your money.
Oh, that's not cool.
No.
It should be free, man. And
I know.
You can sell advertising on your spot for van tires or something, mm-hmm. you know, and make your money that way. But there should be a free database because it used to exist and it used to be awesome. And it went all the way from like home shows, like house shows, mm-hmm. to the bigger places.
Oh, that's so cool.
And always like the punk promoter in town would be the first one, you know, and it was alphabetical and it was like 2 inches thick.
That's amazing. Middle, wow.
But that play, you know, that's got to come back because... Yeah. You know, you know what? Maybe this is another thing, too, where bands are a little, like, kind of insular and into their own thing, and they sort of keep what's theirs. And mm-hmm. this is, you know, what I've noticed is that a lot of bands, I'm guilty of it, too, where mm-hmm. we'll get our little victory and then won't share it with anybody.
Yeah. You know. I think we're all guilty of that.
Yeah.
I like to share it with people that deserve it.
Yeah.
But if, like, you haven't been, like, come out to any of our shows or support us or done anything... Like, this sounds so bad, but I don't really care to help you out if you're asking me for things.
Well, you're right, because you're like contributing to a scene, and a scene is, you know, is known by its contributors.
Yeah.
And you're all some of one, right? Mm. And if you all put into something, you're going to make something beautiful. But the idea that people now are a little bit more hesitant to, because success is such a hard thing to obtain, mm-hmm. that once you've got to that point, and it's, and I think it's a fault where there's a little bit of insecurity, like, what if someone does my job better than me? And then I'll lose that part.
Yeah.
But do you, see, I mean, because your band just sort of stands on their own. You guys go out and tour. And leaving Toronto is an important thing mm-hmm. because you can't just stay in Toronto.
It's great, yeah.
Play the bovine 3 times a year.
Yeah. Oh, wait, actually, it's cherry cola, like, every day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you got to, well, you see, the thing is that I came from Pickering. So mm-hmm. I coming into Toronto was a big thing.
Yeah.
And I never played the bovine until I joined the Fairmounts.
Okay, yeah.
Not once. And so then it seems like the only place we play.
Yeah.
When we get together to play. But the idea of leaving the city is very important because it not only opens your eyes to what's around you, it gives you perspective of when you go back that maybe you're not going to play 100 shows mm-hmm. this year in Toronto. Maybe you're going to wait and practice and write and use Toronto as your place to go and create. And then use the rest of the world to break into. Mm-hmm. And that's a tricky thing it's a big gamble.
Yeah, right? It's hard too, because we get asked to play shows all the time and like promoters are a little bit crazy and they'll, you know, you have to play, you can't play that many shows in a certain amount of time or else they'll get mad. And then if it's two different bookers, they'll like get in a fight. This has happened. It happened in Barrie. So we have to be really wary of that and only try to do like one show a month in Toronto.
Yeah.
It's just hard because I always like just want to say yes because usually they're like awesome shows or it's for a charity or something.
Yeah, he's right. And if it's not an audience that would normally come out and see you, then that's where it becomes, okay, this is the place. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, the bovine before, like it has a stigma attached. It's called the Bovine Sex Club. I don't, mm-hmm. You're not going to get like, you know, everyday average sort of schmucks out there to go see the show because they think everybody's going to be having sex.
Yeah, it's so funny. I know. Like, it's so normal to me, like, because I've known about that club since I was, like, a kid, right?
Yeah, it's
but
been there forever.
I forget that that's the name, and people usually are like, what is this place that you're playing at? Like, family members and stuff, you know?
Yeah, when you check in Facebook, and we're like, what? Yeah, I had to think about that, too. When, you know,
is that what you're doing in Toronto?
Yeah, like, it's a club.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on. You know, are you having a good time in my car?
I am. This is fun.
Does it have a hint of family truckster
family
to it? Where families drive? This is a family vehicle.
Is it?
Yeah, it's what families drive in.
There's soccer dad?
Yeah, well, used to be soccer dad. Then my son decided that soccer was lame.
Oh, okay.
And he's not too far off the mark. But the idea that
now you're like, this is a studio truck.
It is a studio. Yeah, it's badass.
Look how cool this is.
Might get flames put on the side, right? Yeah. But there's a little DVD in the back, and you can drive around, and your kids are quiet, you know, when you're driving
That's
down
nice.
The road. I got this guy up my arse here. Come on, dude. And he's in a handicap vehicle. He's like, I'm in a fucking hurry. I'm handicapped, and I'm in a hurry. That's sort of my, this vehicle is the nicest car I ever owned, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's real nice.
Oh, it's pretty, compared to other vehicles. I guess you live in the city, you don't actually need a car, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just got a van last year.
Where do you park it?
In Etobicoke right now.
Yeah.
We were paying for, like, street parking for a while, because underground parking is just insane.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So you pay to park it out in Etobicoke, and somebody's got to get out and
Well, Marybeth lives in a house over there, so they just park it.
Oh, so there's a spot to park, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's all right.
It's a lot easier.
What do you use for rehearsal over there? There's a place in Mimico that we use. I forget his Glenn, his name is.
Oh, okay, yeah. We usually are at Sherbourne in front.
Oh, so you... Okay, yeah. You should... Oh, because that's central to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he's... If it's
closest to me than anyone else
in
the band. I don't know how that worked out, but hey.
Yeah, I'm always the one that has to drive the furthest to practice.
Yeah.
I drive an hour and a half to practice. That's why we only practice like once every other year.
Oh, yeah.
And then we play shows. We'll play once, we'll practice once, and then go play a show.
Yeah.
We just got a new drummer.
Oh, yeah?
His name's Kyle. He used to be in a band called Closet Monster.
Okay.
And he's a sweetheart. He's been on the show a bunch of times because when I run out of guests, he usually fills the void for me, and he's always never short of conversation, is Kyle Stanley. Do you remember Closet Monster?
I do, yeah.
He was the drummer in Closet, well, the original drummer in Closet Monster.
Okay.
Before they went all corporate.
Yeah.
There you go, Closet Monster, called you out.
Uh-oh.
Bam! I gotta make sure I don't talk too much shit about people anymore. I got in trouble.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you ever do interviews and get in trouble for saying something that you thought was just so flippant? And just like,
Yeah,
well, how dare you?
Yeah, you got to think before you talk.
Do you like doing interviews? Is this a thing for you?
This one's fun, yeah.
Okay. Well,
there have been a couple that are like really awkward.
What makes it awkward? Is it the fact that it's like some dude or some chick who has no idea who you are?
Pretty much, yeah.
Right.
Like they don't do any research whatsoever.
True, okay.
So I'll just like kind of go with that and be like, yeah, I play bass or like I play drums, and they won't even like think twice.
Of course.
And then they'll like call Mary Death Emily or like, you know, be like, I'm Curtis.
I know. See, my problem is I can't pronounce names that aren't like Brown or
okay,
Tom. So to me, because I'm slightly illiterate myself.
Mm-hmm.
So when I try to pronounce people's last names, I have to go like fact check like what I'm saying. And it doesn't happen all the time. But there's one guy, a couple episodes ago, Sergi, which he calls himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then this dude, a friend of mine, came up to me and goes, it's Sergey. I'm like, really?
Why hasn't anybody told me that?
You know, it's only been downloaded 500 times. Why wouldn't anybody who's a fan of the band call me out on it? I'll change it. So, yeah. So for me to pronounce people's names has always been a tricky thing.
That is hard. That's different.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. So there's always been like for you, it's like these people are, I don't know. It must be weird being a chick in rock. It must be weird. Is it weird?
Not too weird.
It's weird if you make it weird, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think, people think that it's weird, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing about interviews. Like I've had a few where they really try to get it out of me that like I hate men, which I don't, but they try to force it out of you. I'm like, you're not going to get it. Like,
but you have bullshit in your lyrics so much.
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
It's because of men.
Yeah. Men, bullshit. It's a euphemism,
they
right?
They go hand in hand.
Well, you know, you've gone through a lot of boyfriends, so maybe it's your problem.
Yeah.
Maybe you got the
totally.
Problem.
Totally.
It's your problem.
I got to stop that.
It's not. Yeah. Yeah. It's tough finding a mate that understands what this life is, regardless.
Yeah.
You know, because when you do, hang on, right? Because there's nobody, you know. Do you date other musicians? Are you I'm not dating other musicians ever again type of person?
I always say I'm not dating musicians ever again, but the only people I've dated have been musicians.
Well,
I'd love to date like a chef or like a tattoo artist.
Yeah.
Or...
Well, I don't know about tattoo artists. They're just like artists and musicians. You should go like good old fashioned like
lawyer. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you could like play anything you want and, you know, and you could do whatever you want. And then if you get in trouble, you got a lawyer.
Just be like, back me up, babe.
I got a lawyer. Musician's lawyer. Nope. That's the line is drawn.
Yeah,
you can't do musician's lawyers because they're crazy too.
Yeah. They can learn afterwards.
That's right. Yeah.
As long as they're not to begin with.
Did you ever have like, do you think in your near future or late long future there ever be like this quest for normality where you're driving around in a red Dodge Journey that's a little bit peppy but kind of safe? Like you ever have this alter like bizarro thought in life? Because I would love my bizarro life would be one day, you know, to be, you know, Bon Jovi. But that's never going to happen. But it's fun to dream about.
You never know.
Yeah. Oh, you never know. Never know.
You're on your way.
I am on my way. One day I'll get a real studio, and then I'll be really, it won't be in a barn. But you ever have that sort of thought in your head about like, oh, this is weird. Why don't I just go work at Walmart and just become normal? Has this ever been in your DNA? Or
maybe not Walmart.
Yeah.
Or like McDonald's. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, McDonald's. Yeah. But just like something.
No, I've worked all those jobs. I know how it is.
Just like something normal where people are like, oh, I see you wore khaki pants today. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you've really, I see you got some lip gloss on there. You know, like something that's just sort of normal office sort of thing. Because there's nothing
further
away from that.
I wouldn't mind being that person, but I honestly, like, even when I try, I go into work and they're like, what the hell are you wearing today? I'm like, I tried to look professional.
Yeah, yeah. It is tough because when you get your head stuck in somewhere where you want it, you know, there's a quest, right? Like, being a musician is like a quest. You're not just searching for success and riches, but you're searching for an identity.
Mm-hmm.
You're searching for recognition, right? Like,
yeah.
A lot of musicians, like, I don't know, maybe it wasn't given to them when they were kids. Like, they want to get recognition. They want to get something, or, you know, I don't know. Has that ever been your thing, or you just never really thought about it much?
Not really. I just traveling a lot and, like, meeting new people and writing, learning new skills, like learning new instruments and stuff, different styles of singing.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about learning, I think, not so much like where I'm gonna end up.
Do you have a guilty pleasure music, like the Biebs or something? Like, do you ever?
Oh man, I'm like starting to catch Bieber fever. So late in the game, but it's so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of people, when people realize, like, wow, he can actually sing with just him and an acoustic guitar.
I know. I saw that video. I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
I always knew he was talented. Mm-hmm.
I always knew he was talented. And the idea that he's growing out of his bad boy image that he sort of created himself.
And now that he's over, like, 18, I don't feel as much of a creep.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. There's a funny interview where he's being interviewed by this lady who's obviously totally smitten by him. And he looks like he's only 15 or...
The laughing one?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. I played that so many times. I couldn't stop. I'm obsessed with that video.
I laughed at that so hard because I thought he's saying exactly what we're all thinking. And I wonder how much shit he caught for saying that. But that's hilarious.
I like to think that he was being an ass, but then, like, I've had conversations with people. I'm like, what do you think? Like, I like totally analyzing this video.
Oh no, man.
And they're like, no, he's just so innocent. Like, he doesn't actually mean to. He's just trying to be nice. I'm like, no, he's definitely an asshole.
It's probably his 10th interview that day too. So, and the fact of, you know, whatever, blood sugar's low, but he just went, I like the way you laugh.
Yeah.
Rah, 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 rah.
It's so good.
Well, you know, do you ever, I don't know, you can't really switch off unless it's really horrible bad, but you got to always try to find the good, right? Because if you start becoming jaded in style or whatever your style is, or you start deciding what your style is, then it's like, well, all right, then you've put yourself in a spot where you can't get out of now, you know? There's nothing wrong with venturing into other types of music.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I pretty much like every type. It's just about the song, like how good the song is.
Mm-hmm. Melody or lyrics?
Yeah, because there's some damn good polka songs out there. Yeah, you know, you can't deny.
Somewhere there's some good polka. Polka's good, you know, if you're really at a wedding.
You want to get down,
you're in
party.
Like a 1970s, like, weird little hall, or maybe a 60s hall. And the chicken dance comes on, and then that's a party.
Yeah,
always
that's
a party.
What we're blasting in the van, like, all the time.
We have this thing.
All pumped up.
We got this one warm-up thing where I work with this one band, and it's called Dirty Country.
Mm-hmm.
I call it Dirty Country, and it's got some of the most disgusting lyrics ever, but it's country music.
Yeah.
And it sort of gets you by surprise because part of the song starts off as being like a traditional, like, second-generation country song, and then it turns into... ain't nothing like a good hard fucking. Like, that's one of those. I'll play
so
it for
great.
You. It's fucking great.
I love stuff like that.
Yeah. So your style of now that there's like satellite radio and all this stuff, like, I find it so much easier to drive listening to the radio.
Yeah. There's a lot of good music out there too.
Driving around nowadays with radio and without real radio, without satellite is tricky as fuck, because you're like, okay, where are we now?
That you is know, true.
What's
yeah.
going on here? I used to drive across the States a lot, and there was always the one syndicated show that as soon as you went across like either a state line or out of range, you'd have to go frantically look for that syndicated show that was still being played. And that doesn't exist. We drove down to Florida last year just listening to this all the way down.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
It's pretty high tech.
Oh, yeah.
We have like a CD player and the just like FM radio. And then we don't have like an aux whatever thing.
Oh, for the iPad. Yeah. iPod, yeah.
So we bought this like radio transmitter thing, but it's such a pain in the ass.
Yeah. And when you go into a city, it's gone.
Yeah. You can only listen to it like on the highway.
Yeah.
And it's always like crackly.
I tried one of those and I had four presets, and then I'd be going like driving to work and I'm like, okay. Now I changed the next preset, because I had a car too that had no. Oh, that sucked.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. Yeah. But, so we've just been buying CDs.
Now, the extra person in the van, is that going to be a problem? Because you're a three-piece, and then driving with that extra body in the van.
We're still trying to figure that out.
You're going to have to rent a trailer,
maybe. Yeah, we're probably going to make that investment.
You should probably buy a trailer. If you can afford it, it's definitely...
They're crazy expensive,
though. I know.
I was looking at the prices. They cost more than our van costed.
The idea, though, that if you get one that's a couple of years old, I've seen ones for about $1,500, and it looked pretty well to do, like
a
4x6 size, so it's big enough. I could tow it behind my car here. But that is definitely a good investment. And then the other thing is, don't travel in the winter. Never travel anywhere in the winter. That's just never fun.
Well, we're leaving in March, but we are going down south, so we'll only get a little bit of winter.
Yeah. Yeah, is it so? It's all booked, kind of, or is it still in the process?
I think like halfway. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny how booking shows. Like, you're booking for March. When did you start booking? Probably.
Oh,
like,
my God.
God, like
September.
Yeah, yeah, and still you're like, nothing's carved in stone until you actually show up to the gig.
I know, because there's always cancellations.
There's always that, you know.
But, granted, we get even get our visas, because we won't know until like right before we are supposed to leave.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
See, that's why you should go to Europe, because you don't need to buy visas unless you go to England.
Really?
Yeah. You just drive. You just fly there, and they say, hello.
No way.
Welcome to our country.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. England, I'm born there, and I still have to get a work visa to go work in England. I don't have a British passport. I can get one, but this is where Pfeiffer lives, by the way. Or lived his Toronto spots right here. But yeah, so driving, you know, you fly in with your instrument, you land in Frankfurt, and the guy looks at you and goes, hello, what are you doing? Playing music. Okay, have fun.
Oh, that's so nice.
They don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care. You're spending more than you're making.
Yeah, exactly.
On average, right?
I know, I wish the States would realize that. Yeah. It's such an investment, and you make no money.
Yeah.
You make money in merch.
You really have to be cunning with how you sell your... There's something going on down here. Some cop lights. You have to be cunning with how you market yourself as a band to be able to make money in this business. I think it's a... this looks like maybe a shootout, maybe? I don't know. I just want to get down that way.
We're not even in Cabbage Town.
I know. This is where the gangsters used to live, though. The Hells Angels used to live.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, shit, sorry, dude.
My mom's got a good story about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Apparently
she was down there partying with them. Didn't know.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And then like, why are these guys so friendly? She looks at the door, and she sees it on the door. She's like, oh.
Oh, that's why. Yeah, actually, crime rate drops where the Hells Angels live. Like, this area around here is very, it's much safer than your part of town. There's a weird rash of Cabbage Town cabbies getting killed, right?
Yeah.
Around, this is a few years ago now.
I don't know.
There's a thing where cabbies would get jumped and robbed and killed.
Oh, that's awful.
I know.
There's a lot of like stabbings and shootings around my general area.
So do you fear your life walking at night sort of stuff? Or is it, if you're not looking for trouble, it's not going to come and find you sort of thing?
I try to think that way, but there's always the odd chance, but.
Yeah. Well, you have like a weapon. You must have a weapon.
I've got keys.
There you go. keys and a cunning tongue.
Yeah. Rah! I just give everybody the like bitch stare. Like don't fuck with me stare. It seems to work.
And thugs are like bears. You just look at them and you puff yourself up and you yell at them.
Like I'm more of a thug than you are.
Get off my campsite. And then they will.
It's all in the attitude.
You ever had any close scares or has it always been pretty chill?
It's always been pretty good, yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy.
So did you notice that there's a, there used to be, I don't know how strong this is now, maybe you can answer this, but there used to be like a Burlington, West End, Toronto rivalry against the Torontonians. Mm-hmm. And I don't really
like
get it.
Like the music scene?
The music scenes were always like so segregated.
Yeah, I think it's still kind of like that. I think we've played in Burlington maybe like once.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a little bit of a bone to pick there because there's that Burley Calling Festival.
I've never been invited to that.
Yeah, I don't think we have either. Too. But this year, Burley Calling is locals only. So that's not cool. I don't know.
No. Well, it is because they're calling from Burlington.
Yeah.
So therefore, they're only calling their own.
I know. They're just yelling across the street.
Well, yeah. See, there's always been that weirdness. It's been happening ever since I played in bands in the 90s. Like, I don't understand it. It's like this sort of weird, like, maybe Toronto people have, like, an attitude. And the
I think it's Burlington people that have the attitude.
Maybe. Oh, there you go. Now you started the beef now.
I know.
Never invited again.
Like, we've got Canadian Music Week where people, like, from all over the world come and play. We've got, like, North by Northeast. Everyone comes and plays it. We don't have, like, a Toronto's only festival.
Yeah, that would be bad.
But that's what they have, so...
And Pizza Fest actually has a Montreal one. I've never been invited to that either.
Mm-hmm.
That's
makes
a tough
me sad.
One to get in. Yeah. Burley Calling was it? Still, it's like clubs, right? All clubs. And is there an outdoor venue part of it?
I don't know.
I've never been.
Yeah.
Never been invited. Ben.
We wouldn't know.
Ben Rispin. Never been invited.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm actually finishing up this album with Ben called Rules. Finally getting the vocals.
Okay.
Ben and Chuck Coles. And you know Chuck Coles? He's also in another band with Dave, and I forgot what they're called.
Oh, either Oregon Thieves?
Thieves. Yeah, Chuck's in the Oregon Thieves. Him and Ben, and I forget the drummer's name, but he's in the Penske File. Another, very segregated. It's like when they came out to my house to record, it was like they're in a whole different world. They were like, I don't know. I don't get this. I don't understand. Thanks, buddy. Oh, sorry, lady. Sorry.
Climb over the car.
See? She gave me that look of guilt.
Yeah. What are they doing in there? That studio car.
Yeah. We're recording. This guy don't feel so bad about because I was here first. I don't know what's happening. There was like a shootout or something going on. Actually, weirdly enough, over by the Hell's Angels headquarters And I just want to make it down to Woodbine, but over in the beaches where we can set up the music part of it. What's your Twitter?
At Emily Bones.
That's too hard to remember.
Before it got taken.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I got Twitter, I think when it first came out. And
oh,
I
really?
I took that name, and I'm so glad.
Yeah. I can't even get my own name for my email anymore.
Yeah.
No.
Everything's taken.
Yes. And then Instagram... Same?
Instagram is Lazy Bones.
Lazy Bones. Yep. And YouTube.
I think I changed the address of it last night. I think it's just / Emily Bones.
Yeah. I changed mine the other day too to the podcast because I don't do any YouTube.
Yeah, it gave me that option. I was like, oh, it's available? Wow.
And it happens so easily too because there was this tricky time when YouTube and your Gmail account were like locked together. And once I did that, I thought, oh, crap, that sucks. Because my email was simonhead666 at whatever.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I'm an adult. I'm like a grown-up now.
Yeah.
I don't want to have any more affiliation with the devil anymore. But that's been my email for the past 15 years.
Yeah.
So now I wanted to change it. So then I wanted to change my YouTube over. It's a process, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
I know. We're having that issue now with the band, too, because we used to be called Mittens.
Mm-hmm.
And we had all these videos up that got a bunch of views, and I didn't want to start a new channel.
No.
No. So now, like, our slash is still mittens, and I can't seem to change it. Like, I've tried so many options, and it just stays the same.
I think what you do is there's a way to do it, and basically you transfer your channel over, and it will be called what? And I think it's still, oh, you know what? You're right. I think mine's still Simon at 666, even it's called Apologue. Yeah. Crazy. Well,
YouTube, anybody, get on that.
Get on that, YouTube.
I'm hoping that, like, we'll get more money eventually, and I can just call them up and be like, I will pay you to change the URL.
Because I put a video up, and it got like 1,000 hits in like 2 days, and then I realized there's a typo in it.
Oh, no.
So then I had to edit it within YouTube to get rid of the typo. Well, luckily it worked out, but that is, yeah, they should be able to edit your video, but I guess they were so anal about buying hits and faking success. I don't know, a couple of years ago that happened. It was a big thing in the in the community, right? Because there was like, what, you know, people thought they had like thousands and thousands of hits, and they got nothing. It turned out to be like
lame.
The actual, you know, speaking of Walk Off the Earth, I watched that Five People, One Guitar, and it's 169 million,
oh my God.
Million hits.
Insane.
And I was listening to this Gautier interview, and he never once thanks Walk Off the Earth.
Really?
For that. Because when their version of the song broke, Gautier had 500,000 hits.
Yeah.
And it's probably in the hundreds of millions now. And I believe, I'm going to go out on a limb, I'm going to say that Walk Off the Earth gave him his Grammy. I did. You know? And they've made no money from that too, right?
Yeah,
What they've said, they've made no money. Mm-hmm. And the nicest people in the world.
I know.
I'm pandering because I want them to come, at least one of them to come on the show. One day.
Make it happen.
When we break down that West End, East End this bitter war.
We got Sarah in our music video that's being edited right now.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. What you
do? It's a very, very short part because she sings on the song.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And she was like about to pop with her baby at the time.
Right.
And they were on tour. Like, we couldn't actually get her to come and physically be in the video with us. So the director was like, well, let's just like get her to call you on FaceTime. And you'll be playing on stage, and then Meredith like whips out the phone and holds it to the mic, and it's just Sarah like singing her part via FaceTime.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, they seem like really nice people. I did one show with a band I work with, and we opened up for them and Zach Brown in Winnipeg. And what a show.
Yeah.
What a show.
And yeah, they put on such a good show.
And we took a shuttle back with the bearded guy.
Yeah.
And he's the nicest guy in the world.
They're all so nice.
And they're just so
good guys.
Very nice people. And nothing, now I really am pandering, but nothing, like, they deserve every little bit of the success that they are getting.
Yeah.
Because their show is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, when you thought, oh, they're just a YouTube sensation, or this is just a one hit, they took it and completely reinvented how a live show should be done.
Yeah.
And although they've been doing the same show for a couple of years, I'd watch it again.
I've seen it quite a few times. It's always a little bit different, but it's never boring.
He tells me that the guy over on stage right catches things.
Oh,
that's his job.
That's probably my friend Zach.
Yeah. And there was a guy who was doing monitors who has ended up like playing bongos, drums.
Yeah,
is that
him.
The guy?
That's him.
That guy is so talented.
He actually, he's insanely talented. Like, I don't even know where to begin, but he recorded and mixed and mastered majority of our record.
Okay.
And he played drums on the Daddy Kissing Santa song too.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Extremely
he was awesome.
Talented for his age.
And the fact
ridiculous.
That he has to be in that show, if he called in a sick day, that show won't happen.
The show won't go on.
It won't happen.
No.
They couldn't do it. Yeah, very cool. But the guy off on stage, right, catching the stuff, he sees how the shows go. So if Zach can't do it, then he has to
jump fill in.
Fill in. He's doing monitors.
Yeah, he's all over the place.
Yeah. And very humble people, too. So how did you meet up with them? Like, what was your...
Pretty much through Ian, the brother. But I was a huge Creepshow fan when Sarah was in the band. And so I used to go and watch them a lot when the Big Bop was around. They'd play there a lot. Yeah. And I remember meeting Sarah outside, and Mary Beth and I, you know, we were just kind of starting our music. And we were telling her about it. And we were like, we don't have any recordings, but like, we promise you it's awesome. And like, she totally believed us. And we're like, what? Like, she seemed so interested. Was like the nicest person, like musician I've ever met.
Yeah.
And then she was about to go on tour and like do a Europe tour, like a, I think either Creepshow or like solo tour. And she kept in contact with us via MySpace at the time. And I was just like fangirling because I couldn't believe she's like halfway across the world and talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have no music up. I have like nothing to prove, you know. And she like genuinely cared what we were doing and, you know, wanted to help us in any way she could.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah.
And does.
Yeah, still does. And yeah. It's just crazy. That was like, I don't know, like 10 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So like I was underage, I think, at the time.
My friend Luke, who used to be in a band called Dodger. Do you remember Dodger?
Yeah.
Ska band? Mm-hmm. Ska band? He was like, yeah, they used to open up for us, like Walk Off the Earth.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then it, like, I remember him distinctly coming to me and going, you've heard of Walk Off the Earth? And I'm like, no, never heard of them. He goes, wow, they just like hitting like 10 million hits in like a week or something on that one song.
Yeah.
That is also pretty neat that they can... They ended up figuring out how to pull off live. I feel so bad for them.
I know.
When they did it on Ellen, because there was like, there's some technical issues going on there, and they had a lot to.
Yeah, and now they're just pros at it because they have to do it at every show.
I know. I love it. No, I love the show. So come on the show, everybody.
Yeah, do it.
All right. Well, we should cut this off and we'll go find somewhere to set up the little, the music part of it.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on my show, Emily Bones.
Thank you.
From the Anti-Queens. Thanks for talking around. It's actually, it worked out because it was kind of like, I contacted you, I think it was like September.
I know.
And I heard nothing and I'm like, oh, well, you know, I get it. I wouldn't want to be on my show.
No, I totally wanted to be on it. It's just craziness.
Yeah. Well, and here you are.
Yeah, and we made it work.
Emily Bones, everybody. Good show. Nice one, driving around. We did record some music, but you can go to YouTube and figure that one out. Go to youtube.com/SimonHead666, and you'll see the YouTube video there. You can watch it. It's much better than just throwing the music. This is a pretty long one, so I want to make sure y'all didn't get bored. Okay, everybody, here we go. SupportFetchClass.com, SupportInsightRecorders.com, go to Apolog.ca, click on those banners, and support the shows that way. Don't forget to help me out with Patreon. Be a patron. Thanks again to deathwishcoffee.com for the awesome coffee samplers. You can go to deathwishcoffee.com. Tell them Simon sent you. Maybe they'll help me out with more free coffee. Follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/apolugpod. Follow me on Twitter, @SimonHead666. And don't forget about the live show, January 27th. And don't forget to go to the Apolog shop and go shopping. This is going to be a new year. We got all new people. We got some great guests coming up over the next couple of months. And I want y'all to have a happy, 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 happy new year. Don't get in trouble. I got a new job. I start tomorrow, day after tomorrow. So I'm really excited about that. So everybody, I'll see you next week. I'll be here. Goodbye.